Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we answer your questions about estate planning, Medicaid, wills, trusts, probate, anything that you want to call about.
Long-term care, all that kind of
guardianships, right. And it is a call-in show, so you can give us a call at 518-476-5900, and we are happy to take your questions. So today we are lucky to have Kim Hance.
Good morning.
And she is our care manager at the firm. And she is such a great asset to our clients. And I know we've probably spoken about this before, but everyone knows what a rich background you have. You've worked in a variety of
almost
places.
Almost all the things, right?
All the things that relate to long-term care.
Well, that's what happens when you've been, you know, it's
when you're as old as we are?
Yeah. Okay. And when you say I've been in the business for 35 years, it's like that's a shocking number to me when I say that, but...
But you don't look it.
Well, thank you. Yes. Neither do you. So
thank you.
We're doing good, aren't we?
We're doing great.
We're aging well, Jane Marie.
Yes.
But it is very helpful with what I do because I really can speak to all of the experiences and sort of understand how each of the systems work. And when we talk about long-term care, I mean, most of the time people immediately jump to nursing home.
Right.
And... I was just having a conversation with the Greenfield seniors earlier this week when I did a presentation. And, you know, when we talk to folks, nursing home is the last place people want to be. Yeah. But it's always the first conversation we're having with folks when it comes to planning, because that's what people think of.
As soon as you mention long-term care and Medicaid, they'll say, I'm not going to a nursing home.
Or, right. You know, and so...
And they're very adamant about it.
Right. And I understand, right, mm-hmm. particularly now. I mean, the pandemics certainly didn't do us many favors. And, you know, staffing and just, it just seems like the level of acuity has gone up with folks. And, you know, we just get these harder and harder situations. But, yeah, you know, I have worked in all levels of pretty much long-term care, from nursing home, assisted living, memory care, home care.
You had a home care agency at one point?
Right. So, I mean, I didn't own it, but certainly all of those experiences kind of, layer mm-hmm. as far as being able to really help people understand what's out there, what they're eligible for, and really have those open conversations about, you know, how you need to properly plan, because as we just said, people don't want to end up in the nursing home. But if you don't plan or you don't really understand what's out there, and then no fault to the medical community, but nursing home is the first place that they tell them that they need to go because it's sort of
the easiest.
Particularly if they're in the hospital, right? It's just easy to shuffle them out to the nursing home, and then they don't have to worry about them anymore.
That's right.
There used to be a thing called discharge planning at one point. We don't have that anymore. It's sort of, here's the list and pick eight. And, oh, yeah, none of the eight got back to us. Or this one outside of your eight got back to us faster. So this is where you're going. You know, it doesn't feel like there are a lot of choices anymore. And so this is where we intervene and sort of try to help as much as possible.
Yeah, we do. So that's where we intervene, helping clients figure out what their choices are, how they're going to pay for it. And, you know, Kim, you're always a great asset in helping in those choices. But, you know, I wanted to point out kind of today the depth of your experience and some of the hard cases that we have to deal with that really present challenges to us.
Right.
I mean, kind of just talk about an everyday type of thing is, you know, typically we'll have a client who's in that situation where they're trying to figure out how to get care for mom at home, and, you know, not sure if she's going to qualify or not sure which program she should use. And that's like a pretty regular occurrence for you, right?
Sure, sure. You know, it really is kind of looking at what the needs are. And in a lot of circumstances, what community specifically a person lives in, because that actually, that maze of services, you know, what's available, what can we access, what care is available. And then, you know, more often than not, interestingly enough, we are, you know, utilizing live-in care for a
yes.
lot of folks that we're working in. And that's not something that we would have ever considered, you know, even, I mean, pre-pandemic, really, but the pandemic kind of changed that, because home care staffing is tough. I mean, it's getting better, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the expense of home care now is just
it's going up.
Sort of off the charts. And for anybody to really be able to sustain home care from a long-term standpoint, having options and the ability to access some of the other resources that we have to help pay. I mean, you know, we utilize a lot of other programs as a bridge before we, you know, as we're doing the Medicaid planning process, because sometimes that takes a while. So we were wanting to access some of the other services, like Eddie Alzheimer's, like Catholic Charities, some of the other things that are out there that will help folks. But it's identifying those things.
Yes. First of all, I mean, sometimes when clients come to us, they don't really know what they need. You know, they're trying to fill in care with family members. We can see the family members are getting tired.
Right.
And they don't know how much longer they can do this. They're saying, okay, I think I have to put mom in a nursing home because I can't do this anymore. I need a break.
Right.
And then I say these magic words. I say, well, have you ever heard of community Medicaid?
Right.
And most people haven't.
Right.
If you listen to the show, you probably do.
Or they give you they say, oh, I'll never qualify. I make too much money.
Thing. Or
you know, and it's still to this day the number of people that just can't wrap their head around the fact that it's actually something that will work for them.
Yes, that's right. And I won't get into the financial side of that today. We do that a lot on other shows, but you can qualify even if your income is too high or your assets are too high. There's ways to qualify by using trusts. But once you qualify financially, there's a whole range of services you can get.
Right. So
can you talk a little bit about what kinds of help you can get with community Medicaid?
Right. So in a lot of times, I mean, you know, the primary focus is home care, which is a given. But in a lot of situations, we're looking at, you know, different programs that can offer housing assistance, you know, particularly for somebody who may have gotten stuck in a nursing home for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Being able to access a grant through Department of Health that will help with housing. There's transportation is huge.
Yes.
And actually, I've got an individual right now who we did Medicaid for, doesn't need home care really. I mean, could use it for some ancillary things. But the primary reason we got Medicaid was so that person could have a service coordinator. And that service coordinator is somebody who meets with them face-to-face on a monthly basis, comes and checks in, and helps sort of coordinate all of the things that person would be eligible for. He's also going to receive something that's called an ILST, which is independent living. Just had a brain moment. Independent living skills trainer. And what that person's going to do is help keep the calendar organized for appointments, mm-hmm. help organize his ability to pay his bills on a regular basis. So this gentleman had a brain injury. Mm-hmm. And as he's aged, just some of his executive functioning isn't mm-hmm. as sharp as it once was. So he'll get an ILST, and that person will meet with him weekly. And just as a check-in, they'll review, they'll coordinate, make sure medications are ordered, mm-hmm. you know, promptly and on time, help coordinate all the transportation to his appointments.
That's all like tremendous help to get all that together. A lot of people
right.
may not have someone to help them do that. You know, just paying your bills, getting to doctor's appointments,
correct.
And getting your medicine. It's really important to have that done every
day. Huge. And those are huge reasons why a lot of times people lose their independence. I mean, just either missing medication dosages or taking too much medication can cause a hospitalization.
Right.
You know, so, and then what I say to folks that depending, we don't bounce back as well as we once were as we get older. So it can trigger that long-term care event. Yes. And so we really want to understand all of the different things that are out there that can help promote a more independent life. And that's really what we're focused on. And we talk a lot because a lot of times people are very leery about having a one-on-one caregiver. So we look at some of the other things that we can utilize. And with this gentleman, we were able to integrate a lot of the other services that will help support him so that he can remain independent. Because otherwise, he was looking at trying to otherwise move. And there weren't really appropriate places for him from like an assisted living standpoint. Because he's still...
He's younger.
Yeah. Well, he's younger and he's still pretty independent. So, you know, while he needs some support, he doesn't need, you know, all of the things, I guess.
Right, and you can stay, that's right, in your home, your apartment,
right,
your townhome, wherever you are, and get the services there. So not everyone wants to go to an assisted living facility, right? We say there's all types of, you know, people. Some people want to be social and go down and do everything you do at the assisted living, and some people like being in their home or going in the garden, and they don't want to leave.
You know? Right, or, you know, we look at the... looking at assisted livings that are appropriate because every community has a little bit of different, you know. So, again, it's the collaboration and knowing the community resources that are out there that I can connect people to. And I think that's another big part of what I do is connecting.
Yes.
With the proper channels that are out there.
So I met one of the ladies I met this week. She, well, we were talking about assisted living versus staying at home, and she has four cats. And she loves them, and she's like, I can't go. Surprisingly, the family said that they found an assisted living that would let her take that many cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really?
I know. Four cats.
That is unusual, but that's good.
Yeah.
It's yeah, one or two is usually, wow. But four sometimes would be a little bit much, you know. But that's awesome because...
Yeah. I mean, she's still not ready to go there, but she has that as an option. I mean, because that's, right. You know, it may be coming up soon. They said they visited the place and there was, you know, a lot of people had dogs there, so, you know, cats. Like, it's very friendly.
Well, it does enhance. I mean, you know, a big part of that is that the individual needs to be able to maintain the care of the animal. So obviously cats are a little easier because they use a litter box, things like that. But they still have to be able to clean it. And that sometimes becomes a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you got to keep it sanitary and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
And but they'll handle that stuff. That's great.
As her disease progresses, that may not be something she could do. I don't know if people at the place will do that for you.
You know, generally no, but it's one of those things that if you've got family that's stopping by and can provide some support, because we know. I mean, we've been working with a client who, you know, owned an animal business for a while, and that's a big stopgap to her. Making another transition because she's still got a couple of large dogs that really can't be accommodated in a community. And
no, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Right, but where she is really isn't sort of appropriate either. So looking for that sort of transitional spot, you know, and that's what we help with as well, is trying to figure out, like, what other options would there be outside of a big rambling house or, you know, property, because that's another thing that puts us at risk. You know, I always say to people when we're developing or when I'm developing a plan with them, I want to make sure it's safe and sustainable. You know, those are my two really important rules. You know, safety first, and then we want to talk about how sustainable our plan can be, both from a financial purpose. You know, family, we can't burn family out.
That's right.
You know, all of those things. So we really want to, you know, build on that.
Yes, we do. And after the break, I'm going to really challenge you, Kim, and ask you some tough questions that come up, and it'll be interesting. But now we're going to take a break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the second half of the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We would love to have your questions. You can call in at 518-476-5900. We have our care manager here. Take advantage of that if you have any questions about how to take care of your loved one at home or what kind of resources are out there. And you can also call us during the week at 518-465-7581 and email us at info@herzoglaw.com if you want a more in-depth conversation.
We have lots of ways to get to be able to get in contact with.
We do. And you know, even in terms of meeting with you, it could be in person, it could be by phone, it could be by Zoom. You know, there's many ways that
we can. We have all the things now.
That's right.
Maybe have a call?
We do, as a matter of fact. So let's get there if we can. It's Nick from Albany. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question for Kim. My uncle is a client of the Herzog Law Group. He had a stroke in December of 2021. He was hospitalized until March when they put him into an assisted living, and he's been in one since then. He's progressed very well from like a wheelchair to a walker to he walks with a cane now, and he's able to ambulate back and forth to the food area where they go. He needs help with showering, but he still has his home, which I've been helping him, keep. Mm-hmm. But he wants to get out of there, and he is adamant that he feels like he's a prisoner, and he wants to go home.
That's
and every
normal.
Time I bring him to the doctors, they say that, he's thriving more being in the assisted living than he was when he was home on his own going to his doctors.
Right.
And I'm just wondering what it takes to possibly get him back home, because I feel so bad. Just, and I'm there constantly for him, taking care of his little sundries that he needs. And, every once in a while he'll need help with some showering. And it's sad to see what's going on. And I'm wondering, what does it take to get somebody from the assisted living back to their home?
Sure. So, I hate to say this, he's kind of a typical case, right? Like,
right.
They go through the rehab and then they sort of get stuck because people don't realize what the options are. And so, the first thing we do is generally just start with a conversation and kind of talk about what his needs are, and then can they be accommodated at home. And just from the brief description, it sounds like he totally could be taken care of home. This is what I say to people. We take care of people who are bedbound. So it's sort of just how we can coordinate services to make that happen. And they're obviously moving him home, allowing him to receive community Medicaid that can pay for home care services. My guess is that the assisted living, he's been paying out of pocket for that for a while.
Oh, he has out of pocket, and it's quite expensive.
It is.
Quite a bit of money goes out every month.
Sure.
The only thing I know that for sure is that his house, from what I see, the way that place is set up, the room that he has, his bathroom would have to be reworked in order for him to be able to get in and out, because there's a big step to get into the tub. So there's a few things that someone would have to look at to, point out this is what you got to do, and this is, go check with whatever, get some estimates and get him taken care of. That's totally doable.
Right, and that's exactly where a care manager like myself can help out, because I can come in and do a safety assessment of the home and really make some suggestions, connect you to the people that can actually do the work that are reputable, that, you know, have the ability to put in the proper equipment. Because that happens a lot of times, too, is we don't know exactly what needs to go in. So having, you know, someone who specializes in aging and all of the needs that are there. Generally speaking, we'd have an occupational therapist come in and just, you know, evaluate what his needs are so that we could look at all of the different kinds of equipment that or assistive technology that's available. And I will say that there is sometimes an advantage to being in the assisted living, right? Because he has all of that support. He's got all of that built in. But it doesn't mean that we can't do that at home either. You know, somebody having somebody to come in that can help with those activities of daily living, the bathing, the dressing, you know, set up some services where he's got some meal planning and preparation in place. There's a lot of different supportive services that we can put in place. Where is his home located?
He's in Colony. There's an assisted living in Colony that he's at. His home is in Albany.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm in between both places. But this sounds like it would take a little bit to do, but you
completely doable.
I can make an appointment with you to do it. How would I get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So you can call the office at
518-465-7581.
So 518-465-7581. And you can just ask to speak to me. Generally, I'm out of the office because most of my days are spent doing things like this. But if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you and we'll schedule, you know, a time to get together and kind of talk about options and go from there.
Could you come right to where my uncle is and meet with us all right there?
Absolutely.
Or do a Zoom or whatever is available. That would be helpful. I will tell him today when I see him because today's shower day, and I will, will definitely give you a call, and I really look forward to you helping us.
No, get that's him back excellent home
because it's very sad seeing him every day. The same thing. He doesn't join any of the programs that they have. He just is in his room. He goes to eat. He comes out, but he doesn't get his medicines. But he doesn't really want to be there, and I can't see. He has a few dollars. There's no, and if it's safe and you guys could okay it, it'd really be a blessing for him. Thank you so much for taking my call. Appreciate
sure,
it.
I look I forward to hearing, talking to you guys.
Thank you.
So that's the perfect scenario, right? People get stuck. They don't understand the choices and options that are out there.
They don't know that he could be home with help.
Right.
And also that not everyone wants to be in assisted or that kind of social setting. I mean, maybe not that he's antisocial, but he'd rather have his home and do things on his own terms rather than being in this place.
And there's a big difference between, you know, assisted living, you do have your own apartment, but there's still that loss of freedom because you're still on everybody else's schedule. They tell you when you get a shower, you know, it's not.
Your meals are on their schedule.
Right. Yeah, the type of food you're eating is on their schedule. You know, again, I don't poo-poo assisted living because it's a tremendous resource for so many people. But there are some folks that just are going to do better in their own home environment. And if that's where they want to be, and we have the ability to put together both a safe and sustainable plan, there's no reason that can't be an option.
Yes, you know? That's right.
So I'm excited because I always love giving people a choice.
Right, and as you said, you can go to meet him at the assisted living, or you could go to the home to see the setup. So that's really...
And those are things that we would do, you know, across the board, because I want to see what his needs are, and then I want to look at the house and see what we would need to do at the home so that we can put the proper programming together. But this is what... I love the puzzle, right? Say care management really is about a big puzzle, and you're just putting the pieces together so that they fit, and that... You know, you can make it whole again.
Every case is different, right?
It is.
And you're pulling on different resources for every case.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lucky he has a nephew to help take care of him.
I know. We really work with folks who have nobody. And really hard.
Right.
Because it does make it more challenging because, you know, there needs to be like that emergency contact or that backup person for a lot of the services that we put in place. So, so yeah, he is very lucky. He's very lucky.
He is.
All right, so you were going to throw some challenges at me.
I was. So this, I don't think we have time for all of them. The show goes very quickly. But I'm just going to talk briefly about Medicare reimbursement. Mm. And so I had a client who broke her femur and, you know, went to rehab. And, you know, went in expecting that Medicare is going to cover the rehab. You know, we've often talked on the show how Medicare will cover up to 100 days of rehab.
Right.
But after meeting with the care team, her daughter found out that they are denying the Medicare coverage. And the reason is because of the injury, she can't put any weight on her leg for 12 weeks.
Gotcha.
So she can't even do rehab for 12 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So that leaves 12 weeks of her needing care, but Medicare is not going to cover her.
Right. So
what do you do?
Right.
Yeah. So we would have to look at what, you know, this is sort of like putting a crisis plan in place.
Yes.
Because she would need some kind of coverage for nursing home if they indeed wanted to keep her in the nursing home. Or we would look at, could we bring her home,
right,
back to her home with reasonable amount of care? And you and I were briefly talking, and I said, you know, we could try to do what's called an immediate need application, which makes things go a little bit faster, right? We at least get the Medicaid approval within 7 days of the application being submitted. And right now, because recertifications are back in and they're looking at all of the, you know, now it's regular application. Like, I've got somebody who applied in Albany County and they're just in April right now. So applications are taking longer and longer. So that's why an immediate need would be great for her. And then, you know, we can look at what the other services are initially, but certainly we can move her home more affordably than she would have to pay privately for the nursing home. I guess the big question would be at that point is either moving her back to the nursing home for rehab, or at home, would we be able to provide the rehabilitative services for her, you know, once she's ready? And that could be an option too. So we'd have to explore a couple of those avenues. Does it make sense for her to stay in the facility?
Right.
Or do we, you know, look at doing a home care plan so that she could, you know, be at home for that period of time?
Yeah, that's important because 12 weeks is, you know, nursing homes about $15,000 a month.
Correct.
Right? So that's a $45,000 bill, if my math is correct there.
Out the door without even doing anything.
Right, just to stay there until she can get the rehab done. And normally we're thinking of Medicaid, you know, for kind of a permanent placement, right? And this may be a case where we need to do it for a very short term.
Right.
But sometimes there's some things we need to get in place. And
we also have to look at, you know, unfortunately, the facilities that she's in and what, you know, kind of, I mean, more and more we have people who are developing bed sores and, you know, like what kind of care is she actually getting? Because, again, one-on-one care at home,
that may be better.
It might be much better if she's going to be immobile for a period of time, and somebody who can properly, you know, rotate her, turn her, make sure that sheets are clean and all that kind of stuff. So,
right, because she may not get as much attention in a nursing home if she's not getting rehab.
And again, no fault to the nursing home. It's just, you know, the way the staffing is set up. You know, you're just not going to have somebody meeting your every need at the moment that you need it.
Right. And we could do a home care plan where she would have that coverage.
And that would be more affordable, too.
Yeah, it wouldn't be $45,000.
Correct. For the next couple months.
Could you imagine paying that for 3 months?
Well, I mean, a lot of people do it because they don't realize that there are other options and choices out there.
That's right. Well, thanks. It was great to have you here, Kim. And have a great weekend, everyone.
It goes by fast. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.